I'd like to read you a few verses from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Beginning at the 9th verse. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Let's bow together as we ask the Lord's blessing on His Word. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we have the opportunity again tonight to consider the Word of God and the message that it has for us. We do pray especially that you will work in power to bless these young people, to help them as they go from this place, that they might have a life that will honor thee and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We know these things are only possible as we look to thy word, as we consider its truth and its message, as we hide these words in our heart that we might not sin against thee. To that end, we pray that you'll help us as we consider briefly these words that have been recorded, that have been inspired infallibly by thy Spirit, and have been preserved down through the centuries with the blood of many who believed its message. We pray these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus and for His sake. Amen. Graduation is a turning point in the life that is unlike almost any other. You might say that for most young people, graduation is their first encounter with reality. We live in a time when growing up is, to a very great degree, a matter of finding yourself in an artificial environment and remaining in that artificial environment for a number of years until finally you have to go out and face the real world. Didn't used to be that way. It used to be that people had a hard time surviving. We didn't know so much about modern conveniences and all the affluence and the technology that we have in present-day society. But it's quite a different thing to go from a place where parents provide the house and pay the electric bill and file the income tax and deal with most of the major problems, to go to a circumstance where at least you have to face up to the reality that these things very shortly are going to become your responsibility. Because of this artificial environment that is produced by our society, we see that the tragedy of our modern lifestyle is that young people a great deal of the time find it unnecessary to give serious thought to much of anything. There aren't any great problems when you come right down to it. It's quite a shock to wake up, as you will, tomorrow and realize that it's time to begin to think of a life of your own. You can't go back to the way it was. You have to face the future and whatever that future might bring. For that reason, I want to take just a few moments to pass along to you some advice from what the Bible calls the wisest man who ever lived. Solomon the king wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. You might say that he was in a position to be envied by every person who's ever had a life to live. Let's suppose that right now, tonight, you could become like King Solomon. Unless we have some liars present, everybody in this meeting would give anything to have Solomon's four most outstanding characteristics. Number one, he was the richest man on earth. Number two, he was the wisest man on earth. Number three, he was in perfect health. And number four, he could do anything his heart desired. I don't know about you, but I would say that he was a man who had a head start on life. If you're ever going to live and find out what living really means, there could be no more excellent position from which to start. Imagine having all the money and all the wisdom and all the health and all the authority to do anything and go anywhere and be anything that your heart desires. Yet that's exactly what God bestowed upon this man Solomon. As the king, nobody could pass a law that he had to obey because he was the law. He made laws and dissolved them. If he wanted anything or anybody for any purpose, it belonged to him, because he was in charge of everybody and everything. Nobody on earth could tell him what to do or what not to do. Everybody took orders from him. King Solomon was the man who, for all intents and purposes, was totally in charge of his life and everybody and everything in it. So if there was ever an expert on the subject of living, then Solomon was that man. There never has been a person here, there never will be one of us, who will be in the position this man was in, to know life in all its fullness. So here you are as graduates, starting out on a life of your own. All of you have good common sense. I know you're not as wise as Solomon because I've seen your report cards. But you are sensible, reasonable people. And here's a man in the Word of God who tells you that he knows more about life than you'll ever know. He tells you that he has experienced everything that you could possibly experience. He's already lived it. And you're just beginning. Now keep in mind, here was a man who, for all practical purposes, was totally in charge of his life and everybody in it. He could have anything and do anything and be anything under any and all circumstances. But let me tell you what Solomon says here in the book of Ecclesiastes. We've been reading from the 11th and 12th chapters. There are a number of chapters that go before. And to summarize all of that, he says, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun. He says, I've built houses with gardens and pools. He says, I've had servants and great possessions. He says, I've had all kinds of music. He says, I've eaten the best food and drunk the best wine. I know about birth and death. I know about laughter and mourning. I know about love and hate, and about war and peace, about planting and harvesting. He said, I know about getting and losing. I know about suffering and satisfaction. He said, I know about loneliness and companionship. Solomon said, I know about having 100 children. And he says, at one time in life, I thought that I could live as I pleased. Another time, I thought that the important thing in life was beautiful clothes and a well-preserved body. He said, another time, I thought that the secret of living was to be rich. Another time, I thought the important thing was to live joyfully with my wife. He said, again, I thought that life consisted of a hard day's work and a good night's sleep. At one time, I thought that the important thing was to be wise. Another time, to be powerful. But after all that and a great deal more, Solomon said, therefore, I hated life. I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And to put that in today's language, he said, I hated life, and it made me miserable because it was all worthless. It was all nerve-wracking. Perhaps you say, well, that's not very encouraging. Do you mean that I'm going to have to go through life and come down to the end of it, get to be an older person, and say, therefore, I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous to me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit? Do you mean that that is going to be my assessment of my existence after I've lived as long as Solomon has? And the answer is that it all depends. It all depends on whether you're a slow learner or not. Because God brought Solomon down a long, hard road. He brought him down this difficult road, and he recorded these experiences right here in the Bible so that we could learn from his experience. You'll notice that he said in the passage that we've read tonight, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He's speaking of the later years of life. And what a tragedy it would be to get down the road 5 years or 10 years or 30 years and look back at your life and say, I've had no pleasure in that. It's just been misery. It's all been vanity and vexation of spirit. But you know, that's exactly what happens to most people. That's exactly what happens not only to Solomon, it happens to most people. There are great multitudes of people sitting right here this evening who've lived a lot longer than you have. And if they look back at their life, the years that have passed, and they were honest about it, they'd have to say, I've been miserable. I have seen the years go by, the troubles that come with those years. And I can honestly say I have no pleasure in the life that I've lived here in the world. Of course, you have to remember that you can't go back. There's no way to turn the clock back and start again once you have had this experience. But I'll tell you why this happens to people. There are all these blind alleys in life that people feel they need to go down. They think that satisfaction is in getting a lot of money. Some people will tell you that lie. Or they think that satisfaction is to be found in becoming successful in the eyes of the world, being somebody, have a reputation of sorts. Or they think, if I could just have children, that would make me happy. If I could just live joyfully with my wife, that would bring satisfaction. If I could get possessions or build a house. Some like Solomon think that happiness is to be found in education, or that is to be found in the way you look or the way you dress. If you could just be one of the beautiful people of the world, then you really would be happy. And certainly there's nothing wrong with being in business. There's nothing wrong with getting married or having children, the typical things that people do in life. But the problem lies in the fact that people think that those things, in and of themselves, will bring satisfaction. That they'll be the solution to the struggle that goes on in your head. And they simply will not be. You pass from one of those things to the other, looking for something that does not exist as far as this world is concerned. Now, after many years of striving, after many years of experiencing everything that a human being could experience, Solomon sat down one day and, in an honesty that's not to be found in most people, he said, I've hated life. There's been no real meaning to it. It's been worthless. It's gotten on my nerves. It's just been a miserable situation. And he says, if only I had remembered my Creator in the days of my youth. If only I had been concerned about the important things in life. The Lord Jesus Christ, His salvation, His values, His assessment of what life is all about. And now the evil days draw nigh, the years have come and gone. And to be honest, I have to look back and say I have no pleasure in it. You know how it is when you're young, because you are young. It's just the way Solomon said it here. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. That's how you live when you're young, a carefree life, doing pretty much what you want to do without responsibility. But he says this, know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. One of the interesting things about man is that he refuses to remember that he is the product of a creator. There's a great controversy in public education over this. People are extremely adamant against the idea of children being taught that there's a creator. I'll tell you why that is. Because if there is a God who made you, there's a God to whom you're responsible. If there's a God who is the cause of your being here in this world, the cause of your existence, He's the one before whom you'll stand one day to answer for the life you've lived and for your response to Him. And people don't want to face that. Solomon came to this point where he began to think about these things. If only I had remembered my Creator in the days of my youth. If only I had begun then to interest myself in the things that I now see to be important and valuable. Solomon started from that point to mean business for the Lord. It could have been worse. Solomon could have been like so many today who have a compulsion to keep on going down the blind alleys of life. I'm sure you've heard of unbelief. That is that principal characteristic resident in the human heart where people hear the Word of God and hear it and hear it and hear it again. And they simply do not believe that what God says is the truth. And so you see people, as you look around you, you see the great majority of people, as a matter of fact, they're running down these blind alleys, chasing the ghost of satisfaction, trying to be things they can never be and do things they can never do. There's this endless search for the imaginary that's going on among the sons of men. And it continues, even though at the end of every single one of those roads, they take those people and they put them in a box and put them in the ground. That's what Solomon began to think about. He said there's one thing that happens to everybody. In fact, that's the major conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes. There's one thing that happens to everybody, man and beast alike. He keels over and dies. There just doesn't seem to be any escape from that. But there's one thing that you either believe or reject by faith. Either by faith in the Word of God or faith in your own assessment of the situation. God says that the vast majority of the people in this world are out there chasing the imaginary, running down these blind alleys, looking for things to satisfy that do not satisfy. And they get down to the end of the road and they step out into eternity lost. They lose their soul forever. And they lose their soul forever because their mind and heart were fixed totally on the people and things of this world. You've had an opportunity to escape that. The Lord has brought you to a place where you've heard the Word of God. A place where you've been confronted time and time again with the opportunity to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ in the days of your youth. I think that at this point, you need to consider the fact that God has been that good to you. You know, there are a lot of people in this country who never really hear the gospel clearly until they get a little older. They never hear the need to consider what the important things in life really are. And yet you've spent day after day, hour after hour, with people who are saved and know it and show it, people who've loved you and taught you the Word of God. All that's left for me to do is to remind you that you cannot leave this school without making a decision. There's no way. Either you decide to believe the Word of God and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and live daily by what He says is the truth, or you decide to reject what you've heard, to live as you please. There are no alternatives. You'll make one of those decisions this very night. The important thing to remember is this. Whatever you decide, the truth will still be the truth. The gospel will still be the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Jesus Christ will still be Lord. And you and everybody you know will have to live somewhere forever. That's the irony of the situation. No matter what you believe or don't believe, you have to live somewhere forever. You may believe in heaven and hell, or you may not. But you're going to live somewhere forever. And there are a great multitude of people in this world who are gambling. Remember those gamblers at the foot of the cross? People who were gambling while the Lord was crucified. A great multitude of people in this world who are gambling, they're betting their soul that God is wrong. That there is no hell. That that's really just some kind of fable that's been conjured up by some of the old monks creeping around a monastery somewhere, somehow managed to get into the Bible, but after all the erudite philosophers of modern day theology tell us that these things are not true. But the Bible says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written. It makes no difference what man thinks about the Word of God. That doesn't change it. And all the unbelief in the world will not change the fact that every mouth will be stopped and all the world will be found guilty before God. And people can stay away from church. They can bury their head in a television set. They can get too drunk to care whether there's a God or not. But in the end, every person here will go to stand before it. A simple thing is do like Solomon. You know, God met Solomon one time and he said, Solomon, I'm going to give you anything you want. Whatever you ask for, I'm going to give it to you. Wonder what you would ask for if the Lord came to you tonight and said that. You can have anything in the whole world. Solomon asked for wisdom. And because he didn't ask for money, because he didn't ask for power, because he didn't ask for greatness, God gave him those things in abundance, greater than any man had ever had before or since. And it was only because Solomon came to God with this attitude. He said, Lord, I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. We live in a world where the important things appear to be the things that are glittering and glorious in this world. You sit down and watch television for a few minutes and you get the distinct impression that the important thing for people is to be sophisticated. But I'll tell you something. The people of this world are going to lose their sophistication when they stand on the brink of hell with about 9 toes hanging over the pit. When they stand before God, the one who is the judge of all the universe, to answer for their response to the simplicity of the Bible and its message. Sophistication won't help anybody then. The only important thing will be, did you believe the Word of God? Did you trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? Did you have the gift of eternal life that God so freely offers to those who will receive it in simple childlike faith? The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's bow together as we pray. Heavenly Father, you know that as we come tonight to this turning point in the lives of these young people, you know that there is no more important consideration for them than this message from Solomon. To see the vanity of life without thee. To know that the important thing is to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. To see our need to know the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth and have the gift of eternal life. We're praying that as we go from this place tonight, you might impress these things upon our minds and hearts to the honor and praise and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now before the presentation of the diplomas, we want to sing once again. We're going to sing a little different one from the one that you have in your bulletin. Number 453. 453 is our song as we stand together.
Eddie Robin Ingram, Kimberly Schultz, Lloyd Edward Sprott,
let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for this graduation service, this celebration. We thank you, Father, for this ministry that thou hast raised up for these young people here in this community. And how we do thank you for these graduating seniors and for the opportunity that's been set before them to hear the Word of God. We just pray, Lord, that it might be the desire of their heart to fulfill the purpose for which you created them, and to help them remember that the most important things, the whole of a person's life, is what is most important at death, and that is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and in reflection realizing that they have lived their life for Him. We do pray that you might put this desire in their heart. I pray that they might humble themselves each day of their lives, that they might know thy will and be willing to do it. We pray thy continued blessings upon this school and this ministry that you've given us, and upon these parents. And we ask these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.